Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Buckle up, sodomites, and welcome to the Sinister Sissies podcast, your guide to true crime, horror, and everything man-on-man and macabre. I'm Jared, your master of depravity, and I'm here with my dirty, filthy little slave, Sam Hamilton.
Please let me out. Hi, everyone. Yep, the shackles have been unleashed for the hour, so here I am to...
Yes, well, Sam's in charge for this episode. I've let him roam within a limited capacity today.
I mean, I still have my leg binders on, but I can kind of flail my arms around, so it helps. So today we're going to be covering the 1982 quasi-slasher film Night Warning, aka Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker. What a title. And unlike our last film that we reviewed, Hellbent, we're both actually in agreement that we love this film.
I love this film so much.
So shocking, so terrifying, so powerful. Night Warning has been named Best Horror Film of the Year by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror. Billy and Julie, young, innocent, in love. It was all a mistake. They didn't go looking for trouble. They were just too curious. Without knowing, they've uncovered a deadly secret.
Starring Jimmy McNichol, the teen idol from the 80s, and Susan Tyrrell, who's a bit of a, if you're a cult movie enthusiast, she's been in a lot of films like the Angel films and also From a Whisper to a Scream with Vincent Price. So the film is about Billy. He's a hot young jock who lives with his auntie, and she's a bit cuckoo. Let's just say auntie likes to control all facets of Billy's life, and it takes him into some disastrous and occasionally homosexual places.
There's also murder involved.
Yes, there's murder, there's homosexuality, there's naked men. I mean, what more could you want? Or one naked man repeatedly. So.
Or boy.
Boy, you know. Boy. Look, he was of age. He's just portraying a younger person.
Do we know that for sure?
Yes, yeah. He was 21. Look, not many 17-year-olds have that body. Come on.
It's always bad when you need to check before you're sick.
Look, I've already checked, verified, we're safe. Billy, the main character's parents, die in a rather epic car accident.
This car crash sequence is amazing.
It definitely inspired, I'm just going to say, I'm going to doubt it actually did, but it kind of reminds me a lot of that Final Destination Part 2.
I reckon they've actually taken off from this movie.
Yeah, let's just say the log for it ahead. This was precursoring that movie.
What I love about this is, so they drive in the car and then the dad dies because the tree goes through the car window. And then the car with the mother goes off down this cliff and you think, oh, she must be dead because of that. And then it fucking explodes.
Yeah, look, she doesn't go easy. No one does in this film.
So, it was just such a good, like, whoa, that was extreme. And then just an explosion. It's brilliant.
As a result of Billy's parents dying when he's 3 years old, he has to move in with his crazy aunt, Cheryl. And, you know, Cheryl's got a lot of issues.
Julie again? Sounds serious.
I think she's got a crush on me.
She does? Billy's got a girlfriend. Billy, you don't do that. That's disgusting. I am going to be your date tomorrow night.
So yeah, we open with Billy, who's sleeping implied nude. Cheryl has to wake him up in bed, and, you know, Billy's got the rig out and all that stuff.
A lot of incestuous vibes, even from this.
Yeah, so let's just say they're very close. And then we cut to him playing basketball in the next scene, where he's also shirtless again. So, you know, there's a lot of skin on display here for fans of...
Also, he's playing basketball with Bill Paxton.
Yeah, who plays like the bully, Eddie. So Billy is like a star basketball player. He's got a big opportunity to move to Denver and go to university.
Which he's informed by his coach, his friendly coach, which we later find out is gay. And unlike, say, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 coach, he is a nice gay.
Assume the position.
And he's got a big opportunity to have a free ride scholarship to the University of Denver. And yeah, his auntie is really not happy with...
Because she originally told him that they couldn't afford for him to go to college, and then all of a sudden he can afford it, and she's very unhappy about being left alone.
Acting out on this kind of rejection that Aunt Cheryl was feeling, she tries to seduce her TV repairman. And when he says no, she...
Well, it's an interesting exchange because she comes on to him and he's like, oh, not into it. And then he's essentially like, oh, you can give me a blowjob.
And then, yeah, once he degrades her, then she's not having it. They end up in a bit of a row. She stabs him to death.
And Billy sees it.
Yeah, Billy walks in and kind of doesn't see the full extent of the crime, but he hears the screaming and sees his auntie covered in blood. And saying that he tried to rape her. Cue to this launching a police investigation.
With a wonderful cop.
Probably the most bigoted and hateful cop I've ever seen portrayed on screen.
The victim was a fag. The coach is a fag. And a kid is a fag.
He grew up without a father, with only women around. That's a classic case, Cody.
But what this kind of backfires on Aunt Cheryl. So she says that he tried to rape her, but then it comes out that the TV repairman was actually gay.
And so that shifts the police, the bigoted police officer, to be thinking about Billy might be a fag.
Yeah, as he states many, many times. So yeah, he deduces that Billy was the one actually having an affair with the TV repairman, and that somehow they had like a lover's quarrel or something, and the auntie is just trying to cover for him.
And strangely enough, there is a connection because we find out the next day that the TV repairman was actually in a relationship with the coach.
Surprisingly okay that his lover was just murdered by one of his students.
And like they were close lovers. They had like each other's names on rings.
Yeah. So it's implied that if they're not in it, they weren't in a relationship currently at one point. Yeah. They were in a very deep and very real relationship. So the bigoted cop comes on the scene trying to sniff out what really happened or what he wishes really happened. And yeah, he essentially like threatens to out the coach and says that, you know, he better leave the town or he's going to be lynched. Mm. And it does seem like quite a few people have an issue with the coach's sexuality, but not Billy, because Billy's a good boy.
Billy's
and
a good boy.
That's what's so refreshing about this film, I think, is that like, you know, the characters that are portrayed in like this really positive light is Billy, who's quite, you know, he's very accepting of his coach. Doesn't bother him that he's gay, even though he's teased for having a close relationship with the coach. And then the coach, you know, the coach doesn't tick any of those, you know, in the 80s often.
He's not a predator.
No, he's not predatory.
In fact, the whole purpose part of the plot is actually talking about the fact that the the police assuming that he's a predator is incorrect and is wrong-headed and is like, yeah. There is a moral behind this. I should note that this is an exploitation film, so it's not like
we're not going for 100% like groundbreaking realism.
It's not like in-depth themes well explored, but I think that there is something in there about. I did read one comment from a review basically talking about that the only adult that is portrayed as being healthy in his views of relationships and love and affection is a gay man, as opposed to all of the heterosexuals who are fucking nuts in this film.
To say the least. Yeah. It's a very compassionate portrayal and clearly the people behind the film didn't have any strong issues of homosexuality, or if they did, they channel it all into that bloody cop character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, essentially it triggers a murder investigation where, Billy is suspected of being gay but isn't gay but has no issue with
homosexuality.
Yeah. But then even she starts to get a little bit suspicious because they don't have sex often enough.
And so when we were talking about how Billy is sympathetic with the coach, it's not definitively concluded whether or not Billy is gay. It's kind of left open to some interpretation.
Yeah, but I mean, he's seen having enjoyable sex with his girlfriend, Julie.
But then right after she says, why don't we have sex more often?
He is a little bit hesitant. So, yeah, there's maybe some ambiguity regarding his sexuality, but he can at least stand women, you know. If he was gay, he would have made it through the 80s in that closeted small town, if need be.
That Detective Carlson came by my house and he asked me some questions.
Like what?
General stuff. Mostly. And he asked me how often we make love.
What'd you tell him?
That it was none of his business.
Good.
How come we haven't more often? Billy, is there something wrong? Something you want to tell me?
No.
Yeah, the plot progresses, the police investigation concludes, it gets more and more homophobic and unsavory. We do have one sort of, sympathetic cop, but he's kind of, more in the background, I suppose.
There is a sympathetic cop involved, but they're still all, he asks if they're fucking, and she refuses to answer.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think the most entertaining part of this film, aside from Susan Tyrrell, the antagonist's performance, would definitely be the police proceedings and the complete lack of any kind of professional regard for the police, essentially just stalk the characters, try to extract forced confessions out of them,
yeah.
Harass and berate them, threaten them. At one point, we see a police officer threatening someone with a gun,
yeah.
For no apparent reason.
The migrant man, yeah, of some Latin American origin is forced to sit on the floor and be
yes,
awful.
Donde es su casa?
Aquí.
Bullshit. Donde es su casa in Mexico?
Joe?
What?
At one point, the auntie is kind of enjoying the fact that there's a police investigation because she just presumes that that means that Billy no longer is going to college. And she talks about that she's renovating the attic, I believe. Yeah. And there's a sequence in which Billy finds these letters. No, this photograph. Yeah?
Yeah, of a man that the auntie claims that it's his mum's ex-boyfriend from childhood, but
yeah.
Plot twist, it turns out it's not, and there's some, you know, there's an unsavory connection. What makes this film work so well, though, is it does just kind of rest, you never know, the aunt character just escalates and escalates.
She's so good, and Susan Tyrrell is amazing playing her. And in terms of the incestuous undercurrent, it's very, this isn't something that we're, reading into. It's very, there's a particular scene where Billy is in the shower. The auntie catches Billy with his girlfriend having sex, and then Billy and his auntie get into an argument in which Billy is like completely naked halfway out of the shower and you just see everything.
So I enjoyed that scene for more than just...
It was nice. It was a nice scene. What eventually causes it all to escalate is Billy is... they have an argument in which Cheryl slaps Billy and they get into a heated argument. And then the next day, Cheryl seems to want to accept him, accept that he's going to college. But actually in her head, as she tells the photo in the attic of her former lover.
Allegedly her sister's former lover, but...
Yes. Oh, wait, did we not reveal that twist? Sorry, spoiler warning.
Yeah, look, okay, the twist is that it was actually her daughter. I mean, her daughter. The twist is that Billy is actually the auntie's son all along, but that she gave him up to... Because her partner was abusive or something like that, she gave him up to the parents. But then she wanted him back, so she killed the parents.
She killed the parents.
The classic break cutting.
And that's all revealed at the end. So there's this point in the film where it seems like Cheryl's going to accept him going to college, but actually she has other things planned.
She has some special milk for him to drink.
Billy, please, come sit down. I thought you'd like a glass of milk, some of your favorite chocolate chip cookies. Good luck. I mean it, Billy. I know how important tonight is for you.
Because he, in order to qualify for the scholarship, must do certain tryouts. And so she drugs him so that he messes up in his tryouts. And then she just continues to drug him in the house.
So Billy starts to get suspicious of Cheryl and her behavior and wondering, because she's very secretive of her belongings. So he arranges for him and his girlfriend to come over and distract Cheryl while he goes through her stuff.
So the girlfriend distracts.
Yeah, to kind of deduce... you know, what Aunt Cheryl is hiding. And it turns out to be the plot twist that we've already revealed.
she's his mother.
She's really his mommy. Mm. And then as such, for some reason...
still incestuous, but it's like even more incestuous.
Yes, the creep factor is off the charts at this point.
Up by like 5% more. Oh, actually, no, I'm going to say 50% more.
Definitely a solid 50%.
Yeah. And on the incest meter.
So as such, also, the neighbour decides to conveniently come and visit, as does one of the police officers. So it ends up with a bit of a row.
It's a bit of a fuss.
Bit of a massacre.
Yeah.
And no one's too much for Aunt Cheryl. Yeah. Single night where I've got to say, Julie, the poor girlfriend, she's like drowned. She's concussed.
I thought they were going to kill her. I thought that was that point where they're in like the puddle.
Yeah.
And wrestling. I thought that was like she was going to get successfully killed there.
Well, yeah, Julie's just that cat. She's like a cockroach. Like, she keeps coming back. Like, she should be dead, like, 5 times.
So, yeah, Cheryl escalates to the point where she starts to kill people off or try to kill people off. She successfully kills a neighbor and the good cop. And so this all gets to a point where Billy and her are wrestling on the ground and Billy ends up killing his aunt/mother in the end.
But the first stab he inflicts, when we think she's dead,
yes,
but she's
they
not.
Yes, they do a good little scare.
There's a nice little, like she, as she, we think she's dying, she like grabs him and kind of just like plants this really passionate kiss on him. Mm. It was a great little moment.
Loves his incest, folks. Yes. Loves it.
Incest is the new pink. No, cut that.
Eventually, the police storm in. We find out Julie's still alive. She's a cockroach. She can get through anything. The police storm in and bigoted cop comes in and sees Billy with a knife and mother/aunt.
Well, it's
a bit like that. Dead. After he killed his mother, he called the coach and the coach is there as well, to offer support. But of course, bigoted cop, wants to shoot Billy.
He wants to shoot Billy. He's blaming their alleged homosexual relationship yep. again. But yeah, then Billy fights back, and we finally get that payoff death that we've been waiting for the whole film.
Give me the gun. You're not gonna shoot nobody. Come on, give me the gun. Give me the gun, Billy. Come on, give it to me.
The ending of this film is so weird because obviously that was the original cut, that he killed the cop, and it the implication being that he would be like convicted for murdering this cop because it wasn't like his life was necessarily at risk. But no, it freezes and then text comes down on the screen saying that he was tried and was acquitted and is happily at college with Julie.
Yeah, it says that the diagnosis was temporary insanity.
That's right, yeah. Which, I don't know.
Even though it kind of like tapers off towards the end, yeah, I think this film is quite unique because it has a very strong and somewhat consistent, at least, kind of like homosexual like undertones / homoerotic undertones throughout the film. Like, it's more successfully homoerotic than Hellbent, which was meant to, you know, which was much more outwardly, obviously.
I also kind of like, even though it's a bearded cop, similar to Cruising, I always kind of like films where being gay is viewed in this kind of like criminal edgy way. Like, there's this quote from the cop where he says, like, he grew up without a father with plenty of women around. It's a classic case. Like, it's viewed as this like very like edgy deviancy. And I don't know. I know that's, yes, privilege of living in 2020 and looking back, but like, I kind of find that cool.
No, I mean, that was one of the moments I noted down as well. So yeah, we're on the same page there.
There were like this spicy little criminal undercurrent. I love it.
But yeah, highly recommend you check this film out. It is out there quite easily. I won't break any laws by telling you where to watch it, but it's not hard.
It's in a very accessible video platform.
Yes. And also Code Red Entertainment, who are a really good exploitation film label. They've released a DVD of it, so if you want to support
exploitation.
Well, you've got to support independent entertainment labels that are probably really struggling right now.
I feel like this is a good introductory film into the exploitation genre. Like, if you haven't delved into the beautiful 80s nonsense series of films, I feel like this is a good introduction of what you'd be getting into if you were getting into an exploitation film. Yeah.
Plus, it has the unique angle of probably being the first quasi-slasher film to even mention homosexuality. So the next year we had Sleepaway Camp, which has a very... I really want to review that in an episode, by the way. But yeah, it's the first one that comes to mind that even touches upon the subject matter.
The victim was a fag. The coach is a fag. And a kid is a fag.
Thank you for listening to the Sinister Sissies podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sinister Sissies. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jared Bartle. Sam doesn't believe in social media, so you can't follow him on anything, but if you want to pass on a message, feel free to DM me. Also, as of today, we should have our Instagram up and running. I believe it is at Sinister_Sissies. Hopefully, if you can find that there, follow us on that for all my nudes. Until next time, stay sinister.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.